Tonight, Dave Lundy and Brandon Weatherby react to Donald Trump's RNC speech. Then Dan Katowski joins the fun just before Scott Stantis jumps in the pile. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Oh, man, there's so much to talk about. Well, one, let's just start with the weather. Let's just do that. Let's just go with that first. Let's ease into the Republican National Convention, shall we? Just, I mean, those of you who watched it, you know what happened. You saw it. Maybe you want to, you know, mull it over a little bit, join the conversation at 312-981-7200. It is raining out right now in the Chicagoland area. Is it wrong? I did not know it was going to rain. I don't know how that happened.
I didn't either. How do we not know these things? I don't.
Senator Katowski, did you know it was going to rain tonight?
You know, I suddenly discovered that it was raining amidst the rain. So we went to Rosemont to see this concert with our family and our friends, the Los Baludos, and we were there. And all of a sudden, this cloud came in, and it was pretty heavy duty.
Yeah, so we ended up
at the Brown Cow in Forest Park.
Oh, fun!
Great ice cream parlor, wonderful banana cream pie ice cream, and
look at you throwing a little bit of a.
I'm throwing it out there. Yeah, they gave me $5 before I left.
Oh, that's good. Hey, say a little something for when you go.
Say something on that Patty Vasquez show. She's outstanding.
When you're on the radio, say something for us.
Is there still ice cream in my teeth?
I don't know, but I might have a little bit of an old fashioned. I had a comb over old fashioned at a party that Dave Lundy was throwing. Who were the wonderful individuals you were having that party over at the Hubbard Inn with?
Well, Becky Carroll and I were the main instigators of that thing, and then a lot of Democrats. It was kind of a support group. With alcohol, to listen to Donald Trump's speech,
you had people that were also Republicans there.
You had people that were yelling at the television
who perhaps don't believe some of the things or that don't agree with many of the things that he was saying.
Yes, that's true. There were some good moderate folks there, and people who were just uncomfortable with his rhetoric.
There were certain things, and even before the rhetoric started, did you have an opportunity to watch the entire speech, sir?
Yes,
it was. It started with his. First, it started with John Voight doing a video showing all of the accomplishments of Donald Trump, building golf courses on abandoned land. You know, that's what you can do in this country. Apparently, is build a golf course, and that seems like a good reason to be a leader of the you know most powerful country in the free world.
It's a start.
It's definitely a start.
And building the Trump Tower with the mob labor. Mm-hmm. That was also a great.
I don't think that John Voight said mob labor.
Yeah, I don't think he said that either.
Did he also say anything about goods that were purchased from places like China, where we had the trade agreement? No, okay. So anyway,
he didn't say China because otherwise I would have gotten bingo on my Trump bingo card.
We had bingo cards.
I had a tie that was given to me a few years ago. I have a couple of lovely Trump ties. And I thought, they're really nice ties. And then I looked on the back, made in China.
No.
Yes, made in China.
No, but things are going to be made here if he becomes president. He didn't buy things that were made here, but
he already will have.
You want to know how it's going
to happen? Reformer.
Yes. You want to know how it's going to happen? It's going to happen like this. Whoosh! That was his magic wand. I borrowed his magic wand.
Well, the weather actually affected your celebration, your viewing of the speech.
Ivanka was speaking. He said Ivanya, by the way.
He said Melania and Ivanya. I'm not kidding because it's the way I tweeted it, and I tweeted it because I believe that's the way he said it. We have to go back and listen to the audio, but I believe I heard him say Ivanya
and
Melania.
Real quick, I read something. I don't know where it was, but I believe she's named after her mom.
Mm-hmm.
But then she throws in the K.
Oh, I see.
I think to like
maybe that's a correct pronunciation.
So maybe Ivanya is her name.
Yeah.
Oh, so there
I
you
think
go.
So, but you know, everyone knows her as Ivanka.
Which, as long as we're saying that part of his speech, he said, "Did they do a job?" And that was it. He didn't say, "Did they do a great job?" Or
it was a job.
They did a job, and I was like, "Yeah, I guess." And then someone tweeted at me, "Well, copy and paste isn't as easy as it seems." That's just wrong. If you're calling to wonder if we're going to not mock, no, I don't really know how not to mock the speech.
I thought Sasha did a better job with the words than Ivanka did. Oh wait, no, sorry, that was Melania.
Wait,
never mind.
That's so confusing. So very, very confusing. So the weather did affect the feed from DirecTV at your event. So there was a point where right after the John Voight video, and while Ivanka was giving her introduction for her father, and by the way, one of the things thing she said, Senator, did you catch this, where she said that about gender inequality and the pay gap, that women are earning 84 cents, but if you look at women who don't have children and aren't married, they're actually earning 94 cents. So really, the great inequality is motherhood. So it's not gender. Only, I don't know.
It's not 6 cents?
It's, but here's the thing. I don't know if you're aware of this, but all mothers are actually women. So it would still, in fact, be gender inequality. Just so we're clear on that.
That's actually not 100% true.
No.
There are fathers who become mothers, and, you know, they, but yeah.
No.
Well, I guess
this
they're
is,
women too. No, they're women too.
This is only, no. Unless.
I'm not going to poke the sleeping lion on this one, yeah. Dave.
Wait, Dave. What does that mean? There's so many lions. Hold on a second. Here's Tom. Tom, what did you think of tonight's speech?
Pretty good. You know, I enjoy your show. I didn't know if it was sort of a bashing, but.
Oh, yeah. I'll go ahead and tell you.
I'm not a big Hillary Clinton fan, but I'm sort of open to what Trump has to say. But, you know, truthfully, in the big picture, this whole thing is, you know, there's Republicans, obviously, and of course, all Democrats don't really want Trump into Washington because. Hey, you got to remember, in the big picture, Washington's a big and a power country club. And they don't want him in because, you know what, he's going to stir up the game. And you know what? It's as simple as that. It's really as simple
Who's
as that.
Who's going to stir up the game? Trump will stir up the game?
Trump is going to mess up the country club.
Oh,
the
I see.
The power is so big that even there's a certain percentage of the Republicans, a high percentage, of course, the Democrats don't want him in, to mess up the country club, the gig.
The gig, the gig of the executive office.
Well, the whole Washington power thing.
Gotcha.
They don't want him in. It's sort of simple. They don't want him in the country club.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate your input. Let's see what Mike has to say. Hey, Mike, what did you think of tonight's speech? Mike?
It was parts of it. Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes. Hi, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought parts of it was kind of scary. I just, you know, mainly when he basically was talking about immigration, mm-hmm. and almost specifically when he brought up, when he was talking about the sanctuary cities, and he, you know, pointed out the victims and those who had died at the hands of criminals. And I had like a Willie Horton feel to me, where he's like, hey, look at these criminals, and it's because of, you know, Obama's,
yes.
You know, and Hillary, I guess, and their stances on immigration is the reason why these people died, and I'll make it safe.
Yeah, he actually said that we need it was because there were immigrants, illegal immigrants here, and those families who have lost, you know, loved ones, they deserve to have their justice by banning immigrants. And I have to assure you that families who have lost loved ones to angry white men, we are not calling for ban on white men. I will say that as a family member myself.
That's very progressive of you.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that right now. So, I mean, that's just a fact. I thought it was a very odd, scary thing.
It's amazing.
To say.
Like the two solid messages I got out of this week mm-hmm. were that Hillary Clinton is to blame for everything mm-hmm. and Donald Trump is going to solve everything. I mean, just literally yes. like blaming her for everything across the board.
And
everything's
Obama,
wrong with
Obama,
the world.
He was to blame as
well. And Obama, yeah, yes. but really singular focus on yes. her because she's running for president. Mm-hmm. And then the notion that he's going to come in and he's the guy who's going to solve everything.
Right.
And again, we go back to kind of like in the state of Illinois, that we have co-equal branches of government. And
right.
you co-equal branches of government when you go to Washington.
The question, being you can't legislative
just,
and executive.
You can't probably. Just summarily... get things done just by saying they're going to get them done.
Right.
Dan, that's not how it works. It works no. like this. Whoosh, done.
No, she's going to get rid of the Second Amendment right after this break. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I am joined by Dave Lundy. By the way, you are here by special request of one of our listeners. Maureen was wondering when you would be back. She knows that you are regularly on Justin Kaufman's show. She sends me a lot of clips for you. So I'm assuming that because she's sending them to me in response to your appearance, she's been wanting you back. So thank you from listener Maureen for being on the show again.
I am so happy to be stimulating Maureen tonight.
Yes. Oh, there you go. And Senator Gutowski, many of our listeners are very proud of
it's
the work you've
late,
done
Dan.
In order to protect the citizens of Illinois from gun violence. And they have also requested that you be on the show regularly. Not you shouldn't have a microphone, but you should
I'm just
do.
Happy to to be a witness to Dave stimulating
conversations for Maureen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think pretty stunning, given the fact that what we've seen in our country over the past couple decades, and just increasingly, not just in Chicago but across the country, the fact that there's so many people who continue to die just for absolutely no reason whatsoever, just by the sheer fact that they happen to be standing there, and no longer this whole this wrong place, wrong time, just the fact that somebody has a military style assault weapon, there's a high capacity ammunition magazine, mm-hmm. and the whole fact is that we have a candidate who's absolutely tone deaf to the fact that people are dying every single day because of this fact.
And
this
has nothing to do with, yeah, right? And then there's a candidate, but a huge amount of the population that hears us say some, you know, rational legislation, or not even rational, but even enforcement of existing legislation that to make people safer, they hear repeal or take away guns.
And 80% of the people out there, even 80% of gun owners will say they support background checks, mm-hmm. they support reasonable regulations, they get the fact that this isn't about going after their guns to prevent them from protecting themselves, protecting their family. They get that. They understand it. Yet flying in the face of all that is the guy on the stage tonight says, you know what? I am not going to let Hillary Clinton take away your Second Amendment rights. She's never said that. She's never advocated for that. And
she's going to abolish it.
But here's the problem, though. Here's the problem. This fear-based approach, people hear this enough, mm-hmm. and it threatens the safety of people you say that about. That's why you have this Representative Baldessaro in New Hampshire. He said, you know what? Hillary Clinton should be shot for treason. That's what he said on the air. And so words matter. Saying things matter. Lies matter. And when you don't tell the truth, people respond to that. And whether or not there isn't as good of a filter or that's out there, but people respond to that and they start to believe it and they get angry and they're frustrated. They want to take it out on somebody.
And that is the argument that I think has been made on the other side of, you know, when we say Black Lives Matter, now we are putting police officers in jeopardy. And I think that there's coming to a point where police officers and the Black community do have to find a bridge. We do have to find a middle ground, a place to meet, because I think, yes, of course, all lives matter, but there are people who are suffering. I mean, at least Trump acknowledged that there are communities that have been underserved, underrepresented. But, you know, when he says that if you elect Hillary Clinton, she's going to flood your schools and hospitals with immigrants. Well, you know what? Fortunately, Governor Rauner has already made sure you don't have to worry about flooding the schools with immigrants, because he's going to defund and undereducate most students in the state of Illinois.
Well, and it was really disturbing the way that Trump was manipulating and inciting. And that's what this convention was. You watched all week long and there was incitement. And that's why you had all these chants of lock her up, lock her up. And the person you're talking about, Dan, got was visited by the Secret Service, right? Because you don't talk about you as an elected official, yeah, or anybody don't talk about assassinating and shooting a candidate for president, period. I don't care whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or a fascist. You just don't do it. And in terms of the Black Lives Matter stuff, I mean, this is happening every day. There was that story in Miami, out of North Miami.
This one kills me because, now this was a caretaker of an adult who has autism. And the young man with autism had gotten out of the home. He was running out, and this caregiver had found him, was tracked him down. But neighbors had called the police because they saw a suspicious adult outside, carrying something, looked like a weapon. It in fact ended up being a toy truck, and the caregiver was trying, you know, the child, the adult with autism, doesn't respond quickly to instructions. He was trying to coax him, trying to get him to sit down, trying to get him to cooperate. In the meantime, was trying to tell the police officers he has autism. It's not a gun. It's a toy truck. It's a toy truck. They shot him in the leg,
and he was with his hands up.
He had his hands up
time.
Yeah.
And he said, I figured if I had my hands up, they will not shoot me. I spoke to them in a calm voice. There's again, video of this incident. Mm-hmm. And it was just so disturbing. And the man was just befuddled. He's like, I don't know why they shot me. The hands were up the entire time. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it's mind boggling. And so when people suggest that if you say Black Lives Matter, you're saying you should shoot the police, it's like, you're just not listening.
It's this disproportionality in this country is something that has not been recognized and acknowledged in the way it should be. When you have 100 people for every 100,000 who die from gun violence in communities that are predominantly African American. Then you compare it to the communities that are predominantly white, and it's 30 for every 100,000. I mean, the rate is so high, so much higher, and it's just saying we need to figure out a way to solve the problem. That's what it's saying. There's when anytime any community is disproportionately impacted, whether it be a disease or whether it be violence, or they just
you'd want to call awareness.
You call awareness. That's just calling awareness to the fact that there is a group of people in our country who are fellow brothers and sisters who are disproportionately impacted by something that they shouldn't be. Right?
There is something too. And before we go to the break, I'll just say this: when I saw the comparison to when I'm a proponent of breast cancer awareness. So when I am out there campaigning and trying to get research and funding for breast cancer awareness, I'm not saying screw testicular cancer. I'm saying this is something that affects my family. This is something that is important. We're not saying screw everybody else. I hope you get that. We're not. We're saying this is what we're trying to draw attention to. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm joined by Senator Dan Katowski, who had the, what? You feel like you're surprised that I called you?
I'm always surprised that you say my name on the air. It's always just a wonderful thing.
A little bit of a thrill for you, is it?
It's just a little bit.
A little bit? Dave Lundy, by request of...
Every time I'm on this show, it's another bucket list moment. I just want you to know that.
I appreciate that.
Can I try this? Dan Katowski.
Oh, man.
It's Senator Dan Katowski.
That's heavy duty.
That's Dave Lundy. And reporting from the convention outside of the RNC convention, the Quicken Center?
Quicken Loans Arena.
Is it?
The Q.
Brandon Weatherby is on the air. Hey, Brandon.
Hello, I'm on Prospect Avenue and Ontario Street. So if anyone wants to just Google Maps and figure out where I am, that's where I'm at.
I just got a Pokemon.
Go find him. Go. Did you get a Jigglypuff? Or a Drowsy? Or a Jinx? No.
Yes.
Yes. They should have made the Quicken Center a gym for the Pokemon.
Yeah, the Quicken Loans Arena. It's a great space, and it's named after a company that helped with the 2008 financial crisis. So it's wonderful. It's the exact perfect spot to have this convention.
Also, it sounds a little bit like quickening. So I think that works on many levels as well.
Sure.
It's the quickening. Did you feel a little bit like the rapture might be at hand when you were listening to the speech tonight?
We need Reverend Tim Tom for that one. Mm-hmm.
It was the opposite of the rapture tonight. Of the four nights, it was definitely the calmest, and everyone going in thought it would be the least calmest. Also, there were a handful of things in Donald Trump's very long speech that were actually progressive on accident. The line he had about evangelicals, about how them embracing him, and maybe they shouldn't have embraced him, that got a really good laugh. It was a well-delivered line that sort of was a nod to like, hey, I haven't been so great as a husband.
Or a human, but no, it works.
Sure, I'm trying to be bipartisan here.
And yeah, me too.
The line about the specific way he said LGBTQ friends, either way, that was kind of cool. And Trump actually said, I'm surprised. I'm like happy to hear you people at this convention cheer for that. That's good. So that's a good thing. I'm curious. It's small steps, and that's awesome.
Baby steps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all you could do.
What happened with the protest? There was a protester. We actually were in and out of being able to hear the feed. So he was interrupted at some point by, it seemed to me, someone with a Code Pink ribbon on. Was that correct?
Yes. Code Pink got in yet again because if honestly, protesting 101, if you're a young white woman, you're probably going to get your message across better than anybody else in terms of protesting because no one really wants to be the one that breaks the neck of a young white girl. So that's really smart. Good for Code Pink.
Good for Code Pink. Yeah, that seemed to be a bit of a few minutes. It was longer than you would think for someone. Was she just yelling and he stopped for a moment?
Yeah, but it didn't really change anything.
No.
Like, at the end of the day, I'm glad that they got in, and I'm also glad that they were taken care of with respect. And once again, I really want to praise the staff at this convention. The GOP and the city of Cleveland did a remarkable job. There's been really no problems. There's just as many problems after any sporting event, pretty much.
Oh, that's good. That is good to hear. I'm glad that everyone was safe. And, there was peaceful protest, as it should be at one of these events.
Absolutely.
What was your sense on the floor? Like, what was the sense from the crowd? Did they seem, pretty fired up about their candidate?
They're not fired up. How about that?
I don't know if that...
I think that's progress.
That might be progress.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it is progress, especially from last night. I mean, the narrative I think we're all going to take away from this is Cruz's speech. That's going to be the thing that in 4 years people are going to talk about. And I don't think anything from tonight's speech that Trump gave is really going to hurt him, and I definitely don't think he said anything. He might have said a few things that will help him. I think Ivanka, yet again, is the most well-received person in this entire campaign.
She was the most well-received. Yeah, she had a very good speech. Her lip gloss was stunning. I thought that it reflected the light very well.
The lights, I don't know if you guys watched the convention or just heard it, but Trump's was the only speech that involved hit the entire screen.
Oh, no, I didn't realize that.
We didn't see that.
No, we couldn't see that part.
Here's a good plug for my Instagram. Go to @YMTE, and you could see it. It's really, really big. Remember that? Yeah, remember that wonderful Apple commercial from 1984?
Right.
Referencing 1984? It looked like that.
Wow.
Trump likes to see his head really large.
Yeah, and honestly, the Trump stuff tonight, you could say he's a bigot. You could say he's full of vitriol. I don't think this man is a bigot. I don't think he's full of vitriol. He's going into business for himself. That's all this is.
Well, but do you think he feeds off of the bigotry and fear?
Oh, for sure, Because at the end of the day, he's a competitor, and he actually brought up the fact that, like how he crushed everybody in the primaries. That's what he likes to do. There's not a lot of that left. The general is different than the primaries, and I don't know how that's going to play for the next few months. I don't think it's going to be a good idea, and he's sort of trying to pivot away from it, but the unscripted stuff tonight that sounded like the primaries, that was unscripted for a reason.
So what's worse, being an actual bigot or being using bigotry in order to get people to vote for you?
An actual bigot, because this man does not care and can easily be swayed.
See, I don't know. I think whether you're portraying yourself as a bigot or whether you are a bigot, there's really no difference to me or to my kids, to what they watch on TV and what people see.
Well, it's the stoking the flames of hatred and racism and anti-Semitism and anti-immigrants and mm-hmm. anti-women and anti pretty much everybody else other than white men.
I didn't hear much of I didn't hear anything about reproductive rights. Did I miss any of that? I don't think, or women's health or gender, except from Ivanka. Yes?
Ivanka mentioned some stuff.
Yes.
Melania and Ivanka, I don't know, at the end of the Donald Trump speech, he said, they did the job. I just wanted to,
They did a job. They did a job. Yes.
It was a job.
He just sounded like a mob boss. And that's not, I don't think he's a mob boss. It just sounded like a stereotype of a mob boss. And that made me smile.
They did a job that Americans weren't going to do.
That's
not right.
Pretty great.
Wait a minute. Yes.
No, I don't think it's a smart idea to just go into like, oh, he's a bigot thing. It's like, yeah, but whatever. Why do people think he's a bigot? Or why does he think these ideas are good? And I just think coming back at it with more vitriol is not helping anyone. I mean, I come from pop culture and all that stuff. And at the end of the day, like, Mr. Rogers is the man. Everyone should try to be like Mr. Rogers. And if everyone was like Mr. Rogers, these questions don't come up. And I understand that it's really easy to, like, your previous call, that's a horrible thing that happened. And no one should be murdered. It doesn't matter what race you are.
Yeah.
And Mr. Rogers, guess what? Anti-murder. That's the anti-murder candidate.
Right. Yeah. Everybody should be against that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, people vote for hope. People like having a message that's actually positive. Trump tonight said Hillary Clinton has a line. I'm with her. And then part of the crowd started chanting. Donald Trump then said, I also have a chant. I also have a motto. And then the crowd started chanting, lock her up. And he didn't go that route.
Right.
His answer was, I'm with America.
No, he said, I'm with you. Wasn't it, I'm with you?
Yeah, I'm with you, the citizens of America.
Right.
That's not a horrible motto.
No, it's not.
No, that's a good line.
It was a very good line.
Yeah, I don't think there's this, like, veiled racism or bigotry. If anything, there's veiled Christianity and veiled family values when it's just a businessman that wants to have a title. That's all it is on this side.
Well, Trump claimed that Hillary demands of her followers that we pledge a loyalty oath saying, I'm with you. No, it's not a loyalty oath. It's a hashtag.
Yeah, hashtag. It's a hashtag.
It's a hashtag.
Yeah.
It's a sticker.
I guess I struggle so much with it. If my son ever fanned the flames of racism or looked at someone unequally, he would get a severe punishment for me. And I would be talking to him about where he developed this point of view and why he thinks that and why it's so harmful to think that way, because words matter. Words matter. Yeah, I know the whole thing that's happening right now is that people are acting like words don't really matter. Or when it comes to Trump, this is about him trying to get his brand across. But part of his brand is the fact that he's using these words, and they matter.
Absolutely. But I don't think he's using these words because I think it's just a mirror. That's all it is. And it's appealing. It's a light for moths. That's all this is for a lot of the core supporters here. I think there are a lot of Republicans here that don't have hate in their hearts.
See, that was a key point. You said it's a mirror? Is that what you said?
I'm sorry. I went with the wrong analogy. I should have been like, it's a light and moths. It's a candle with moths. I mean, they're just attracted to certain things, and that's a small percentage of it. And those people happen to be the loudest percentage.
Right.
That's all.
But for the most part, the people you've met and run into seem to be level-headed, wanting the best for this country, right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, it also helps that we're in Ohio, and Governor Kasich is beloved here, and at least for a lot of the people I met, considering where I'm at, that makes sense. So those are pretty level-headed people. Out of all the candidates in that race, it's either him or Bush that are the two most level-headed. So
I'd agree with that.
It's not surprising that it's a pretty level-headed convention.
I have a question about this. It goes back a little bit to last night and a little bit to, I'm guessing, the fallout today. Was there any rumbling still about Ted Cruz? Because I really loved his response.
100%. Yes. That definitely had rumblings today. I actually went to an event that his campaign manager spoke at, and it was at a Politico Hub event. And all of these events are documented on their site, and you could read the transcripts. I loved it. I learned so much more from that panel than I did from watching all of these speeches all four nights.
Really? Tell us.
Incredibly realistic about this stuff. He believes in his guy, but he's at the same time, he's a pollster, he's a numbers guy. While he does have a horse in this race, they're very realistic, and they're very harsh with their words in ways that are really refreshing. There's not as much spin on it. And they're pretty much resigned to, like, yeah, Trump cannot win. Like, the numbers don't work out. So
there you go. Yeah, I was a little bit tickled that I feel as though when Ted Cruz said the reason that he did not support Donald Trump was because he'd come after his wife and his father, and I thought, he is Latino. He's holding a grudge. He just basically on the stage, on the national stage, said, "Say hello to my little friend," and I kind of enjoyed that.
Well, I liked when he said I wasn't going to be like some snivel. What do you say, sniveling dog?
A servile puppy.
Servile puppy. I mean, come on, servile puppy. That's great language to introduce into the American discourse. I love that.
So Brandon, going into your next trip, you're coming home tonight on a 3 o'clock train. Is that right?
Yeah.
In like two hours. I'm sorry. Am I keeping?
Yeah.
You're going to get some sleep.
He's pumped.
He is pumped.
Yeah. Well, I'm so ready to leave here. Not that I don't like Cleveland or the people here, but my feet hurt.
Oh, no. All right. Well, we want to make sure that you take care of your feet. Go catch your train. We're going to see you tomorrow night. I have your petty cash I'm going to have for you.
Sweet.
For any incidentals that I can cover up to $25. And we'll talk to you tomorrow night for our crosstalk. Thank you, Brandon Weatherby. And where can people follow you on Instagram and Twitter?
@YMTE.
As the host of the podcast, You, Me, Them, Everybody. And he'll be co-hosting with Esmeralda Leon after my show tomorrow night from 2 to 5 a.m., filling in for Matt Bubala. Thank you, Brandon. Safe travels.
Thanks for having me.
Sweet. Of course, more after this on 720 WGN. Listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We'd love to hear from you. I know we've been talking a lot about the Republican National Convention and the speech that Donald Trump gave tonight and accepting his nomination, but your opinion matters here, and we'd love to hear from you. We're giving you our thoughts right now, and it doesn't mean that you're going to agree with them. I know many of you probably get a little bit angry, and that's completely to be expected. We're going to disagree, and my tone may not be the one that you want, so we invite you to join us and give us your thoughts. I know Dave wanted to tell
Hello.
Us, hey Dave, that's you. Hello,
hey.
Hi.
Basically, there's two aspects to Trump, and they're the two things that I like about him, and the other thing I hate about him.
Okay.
What really turns me off about him is this diabolical obsession, and how he's going on and on and on and on. Hillary this, Hillary that. It's
right.
really tiresome.
Okay.
It is really tiresome. And if and when he's in office and he has real responsibilities, he's not going to have her to blame anymore. He's going to have to solve problems on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not going to be able to blame her anymore. So that kind of frightens me. He's making her the scapegoat of too much. It's ridiculous. And, you know,
okay.
I'm really turned off by it. I want to hear what he has to say about himself. Now, the thing I can't help but like about him, and I grudgingly say this because I'm not going to vote for him, but when he talks about our economy and our trade deals we have around the world, and he does... You can't disagree with the guy. Somebody's got to step in and reverse all these trade deals we've made all, through the past few decades because they are strangling our country. They're causing the middle class to shrink. We don't have real jobs anymore.
Do you know that U.S. home sales have hit their highest level in 9.5 years as of June?
Well, what are people using to pay for those homes?
And the number of Americans that are filing for unemployment benefits also fell last week. Factory
last
orders.
Week. Okay, you're going by weekly statistics. I mean,
well, that would
no,
be
it's at its lowest level in years.
Yeah, I mean, last week is the
lot
measurement.
Of people working jobs that are beneath their abilities. That's all. Those statistics really don't paint an accurate picture. I mean, we need to do something about this economy, and something radical needs to happen. And, you know, I don't know if it's possible to do. I don't know if these are utopian, or I don't know if Trump really can pull off these things, but something needs to be done.
Well,
I never listen to economic statistics because they're ridiculous. I mean,
but your information is based on your own personal experience, or what is your information based on how the economy is doing in relation to our trade deals?
It's a combination of all of them. I just think that something's not right. I mean, there's more people on food stamps. There's a lot of people. I mean, when they say the employment rate is going up, what kind of jobs are they talking about? High tech jobs for people at the top, or are they talking about middle class jobs? I mean, I don't think you can rely on these statistics.
So I'm just curious, what makes you think that the trade deals are the source of the economic problems?
They're not the single source of the economic problems, but there's because everything is made in China now. Everything you look at.
Hold on a second, Dave. Let's take that.
Slave labor.
Let's take that one step at a time, right? So if we bring back manufacturing jobs, which we would want to make sure that our workers are paid a fair wage. Otherwise, those are going to be, as you said, what kind of jobs are they getting? If they're manufacturing jobs, are they going to be the kind of wages that you're talking about that raises the middle class? Otherwise,
I don't know. I mean, I admit, I don't know. But the fact is, when they talk about global economy, we've always lived in a global economy.
And that's...
It's just a misnomer for...
Yeah, it is. There's so much to tackle and so many different things to talk about. We'll continue our conversation. Owen wanted to let me know that I am being flippant. Is it flippant or flip about? I think we can abbreviate that to flip.
Let's flippant.
Okay, let's figure that out after the news. More after this on 720 WGN. Flip or flippant? I believe Owen wanted to say I was flipping about the speech.
Flippant.
Flipping.
Okay.
Flipping out?
Oh, you were flipping out?
No. Yeah, I don't think I was flipping out that much. I was, no, I think I flipped enough.
Hey,
I haven't
Patty,
flipped or flopped.
Real quick, we supplemented a PSA in there because we had a lighter spot load, and I'm pretty sure that was a joke PSA from the Brian Noonan show. So sorry for anyone that heard that commercial a minute ago.
Oh, really?
That was, yeah, that didn't seem real.
Oopsie.
You're going to get murdered with a knife.
Now that seems flip.
Yeah, that was flip.
That was flip. No, that was. Oh, see, now I got
okay.
I think flip is just an abbreviated flippant, correct?
People yes. should describe the difference between real and fake commercials.
Okay. Well, and for the record, I've seen you for hours tonight, and you have not flipped once.
I could do a cartwheel.
No. Yeah.
what is
you've been walking on your what?
You're are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, hanging out with Senator Dan Katowski,
hey.
Political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis.
That would be me.
Maureen's favorite guest, Dave Lundy.
That's me.
And Media Geek and the, what's the name of your company again?
Sorry? Aileron Communications.
Aileron.
I didn't realize that Dave Lundy had that kind of a voice.
Oh, damn. Oh, I'm telling you.
Is it making you knees?
I'm feeling a little uncomfortable.
In a good place.
Yeah. And all my weak spots, I'm feeling uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm feeling places I haven't felt. Yeah,
okay.
You awakened. It's a late night awakening.
Look, Ralph Nader's on my screen. I didn't even know he was still around. I know, that's a little...
Thanks. Ralph Nader's in the studio.
Yeah, that'll kill the voice.
Yeah, what are you doing?
That was a little weird.
You're setting the mood.
If I go around this, it doesn't kind of look like I have Ralph Nader on.
Oh, totally.
On guest
yeah,
on.
I go from, okay,
hey!
Dan. Okay, Dan, to... Ah, Dan!
We all, in very different locations, watched most of the speech presented by Donald Trump, the nominee of the Republican Party for President of the United States. And it is important that we listen to him because there is a possibility that he may win this election. Because the numbers that Dave Lundy is reading to me about how people felt in regards to the speech, pretty strong, actually. 56% of people are likely to vote for him now? Is that...
Well, 56% in the CNN Instapoll said they were more likely to vote for Trump following the speech.
Were they undecided voters before?
They were.
Okay. 56% of undecided voters.
You know what? I mean, I've lost so many bets to you on this whole election and on Donald Trump. I cannot for the life of me. I had this discussion, had dinner tonight with Lois Willie, who's the former editorial page editor for the Tribune. And we're both like, we can't think of, you know, between us, we have like 5,000 years of experience covering this stuff. There's no context. Where are we? And you said 56% of people who are previously undecided are now more likely to vote for Donald Trump.
56% of people mm-hmm. who saw Il Duce's speech
are more likely now.
Thought he was awesome.
I didn't even know that was one of the categories.
Okay, awesome was not actually the word, but as far as I'm concerned, if they said he was more likely.
Now it's going to start being used, Dave.
Yeah. They said he was awesome.
It's kind of like billionaire. I don't know. How can we fact check that?
Oh, what? No,
we can't because he won't release his damn
taxes. Yeah, how do we even know if he's a billionaire?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm going to start saying, could you just introduce me as Dan Katowski, the would-be billionaire? Just
why would mm-hmm. be? Just say, apparently you can say anything.
Yeah. Then we'll eventually get rid of the would-be.
Well, so
that didn't go anywhere, but I'm sorry. I tried. Let me apologize for that.
No, it's their job to laugh because I'm now trying to look things up through the speech. Law and Order was one of the things, which I'm a big fan of that show, and apparently so is Donald Trump. Do you prefer the criminal intent or the Special Victims Unit Law and Order?
Is that the one that starts chonk, chonk?
Chonk, chonk.
Chonk, chonk, chonk.
The original. I mean, the original is quite good, you know.
Quite.
So I don't know if that's
SVU is solid.
It's dark though, and probably I believe Stabler is going after Ailes and the Fox Network as we speak. So that was I know
nice.
How you feel now.
Really? See, you tried.
Detective Stabler. Because of sex crimes.
Oh my God.
Whoosh.
God, we're nailing it here tonight.
Oh, man, let me tell you.
My God, that's dropping the mic in an empty room.
That's why you got to stick to the classics. Just Law and Order. Dun, dun, dun.
Kenny Stabler, does he have to do with this?
No, Detective Stabler.
I know.
Well, hey,
snake.
Fran Tarkenton spoke tonight.
That's right.
Fran Tarkenton. I saw him on television. I'm like, oh, my God, Fran Tarkenton's old.
Is he how old? I mean, he's got to be like in his
90s. Well, I mean, he was a famous quarterback in the 70s.
No, I know who he was. I was a kid watching. I loved him when he was
the Vikings.
Like, well, and the New York Giants.
Right. And he won a Super Bowl.
He didn't age 60
years.
No,
he never won.
He didn't age 60 years and 30, Scott.
Right.
Okay. So is he who? Frank Tarkenton?
Fran Tarkenton.
Fran Tarkenton.
Oh, the kids today. They don't know.
Come on.
Exactly. Patty.
That was fun.
He was a good quarterback.
Is he the one that's in charge of restoring law and order become January 20th?
He's going to be the chief law enforcement officer of the entire country.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Who never won a Super Bowl.
Never.
Never won a Super Bowl. Yeah.
Who's the one that wears the fur coats?
Joe Namath.
Willie Namath. Broadway Joe.
He won a Super Bowl.
Okay.
He did. Predicted he would.
And you get to wear a fur coat after that.
You do. Yes.
So correct me if I'm wrong, Senator, and actually everybody in the room. I love being corrected. But when he says he's going to restore law and order, aren't police departments and local justice basically that city and state, sort of, isn't that their purview, not the country's job.
I don't know
to,
if he means that he's going to show up personally. That would be kind of awesome. Yeah.
Public
sort
safety.
Of like a superhero.
Public,
right? Yeah. Everywhere. Everywhere there is crime, Donald Trump will show up and go, whoosh.
So is that another branch of law enforcement would be federal? That's the FBI, right? That's law enforcement, but that's...
I think he was trying to give the impression that he's going to make our country safer single-handedly.
Again.
Well, the single bound.
Right.
Again. But again, right? Okay. But I. But there is that... There was the, there was a good conversation about this, just tapping into this this approach of the speech, which addresses people's their greatest fears, right?
Right.
Their fears about what the instability or the destabilization of the world, their fear about losing their job, their fear about their kids being victims of crime, all the fears that they're out there and kind of stoking those fears and getting plugged into those. And that's why that was what people said there was a level of darkness to it, right? Because... I mean, I kind of felt it like it was a conversation at a family party with my mother and her Irish aunts. They're all talking about the worst possible things that could happen.
Right.
Right. So, and then, but it is going to work out.
Yeah, everything will be fine.
And everything's going to be fine. So I don't know. I just, I tend to, it goes back to it. There were a lot of promises made in that speech tonight. There were a lot.
That are going to cost a lot of money, by the way.
There was, yeah.
No, they won't. They won't cost any money.
Yeah.
Because when Trump waves his magic wand, whoosh, the problems go away.
Well, or in Mexico, he's going to pay for it.
He likes that sound effect. He's
using I do. I really do.
He does.
Really by the way, this just in, David Duke thought it was an awesome speech.
Did he?
David Duke tweeted out, great Trump speech, America first, stop wars, defeat the corrupt elites, protect our borders, fair trade. Couldn't have said it better, David Duke.
No.
Wow.
Yikes.
Well,
yikes.
There you go. I have to admit, the speech did touch on a lot of themes that I think do resonate with people. I think he was going after his base supporters. And, I mean, there is the concern about violence and there is about crime, illegal immigration in like Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Rust Belt states about the loss of jobs and how trade deals have made those jobs go away. I think those are legitimate themes. I'm just not... You know, and you hate to say, well, it's tone. Well, you know, you can, that seems like a weird thing. The tone of the night, the tone of the 4 days has been, you know, America's terrible. America's a burning cinder. Well, it's not. Is the economy more bound? It is. Is unemployment bad? It is. You know, has the black community not been helped particularly over the last 8 years? It hasn't. I mean, there are serious issues facing us.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But there's ways to put it, and there's ways to address it, saying that, you know what, yes, this is bad right now, but it's going to be fixed.
Well,
and without some kind of cursory weird like, and it's going to be fast, my friends, really fast.
Well, see, and this is exactly the point I was making on Justin's show on The Download with Roebling and Lipson. We were talking about this, and that was my exact reaction. I'm like, we have very real problems in this country that we really need to deal with. But when you create this dystopian view of the world and you make it feel like it's 1930s America in the height of the Great Depression and we're besieged by enemies domestic and foreign. And I mean, that was a time when that kind of speech. Sure. Yeah, that's Father Coughlin and the America Firsters. Oh, wait, what a coincidence. but it's not. That's not the world we're living in. We're living in a world with real challenges. Let's address them and deal with them.
Right.
And the magic wand stuff, and I won't do the sound effect again.
No,
sorry, I couldn't help it.
It's more like a drill.
But the magic... I won't do the drill.
The magic drill, which is something entirely different.
Magic wand idea still reveals something I've been saying for a year, which is Donald Trump's Achilles heel is a three-letter word called how. How are you going to do it? Because we have no idea from tonight's speech or any of the previous 3 days.
And that was one of the listeners. Anything. A listener called and said something radical has to happen. How much of an influence do presidents have on the economy? How much of it is? And if it is it 8 years of, because it hasn't gotten worse. I mean, it's not great. It isn't better. Someone was asking this last night. Are you better off today than you were 8 years ago?
Of course we are. The world was on the precipice of global economic collapse.
But I think when you go into homes individually, you know, whether or not they're struggling with health care, how to pay for the, you know, whether you know, their kids going to school or bills from month to month, I think that that's always going to be felt intensely. And you always want to find somebody whose fault is this?
Right.
And who do I have to blame?
Patty, in your story, I think what's missing on, I would say, on throughout a lot of these the campaigns is that acknowledgement of that. That people feel that even though they got their jobs back, they still don't feel steady.
Mm-hmm.
they still don't feel they're secure. But I'll go back to, this was probably around 2010. I had a job fair in Park Ridge. And in Park Ridge, it was 2,000 people showed up for a job fair. And I used to knock on doors. It was religion for me to just to meet people and hear about what they were going through and their concerns. I met so many heads of households, so many men who were out of work.
Right.
And they were rehired, or they got jobs at somewhere else. And I think that when that happens in your lifetime, when you lose a job, and you're the bread earner for your breadwinner for your family, you don't forget about that. And I think what's always been missing, and this has been my struggle, and this is on the Republican and Democrat side, is that acknowledgement of that,
right,
that it happened, and the way in which it was resolved. I think in some people, a lot of people still feel like, well, where was my bailout?
Right.
People still feel that. And it's still a tangible.
Yeah.
It's still a tangible sense.
Don't get me started.
Yeah.
When my husband lost his job. Now you got me started. Yeah. Steve lost his job he lost his job in July of 2008. And that was right when the bubble burst. That was when everything really imploded. He had a job where he was the head of the corporate communications research department. And he was one of the first let go because his job was to let our clients know. I used to work there as well. Let the clients know how they were doing in the marketplace. And for 4, 5, 6 months, Steve was ringing the alarm bell saying, you know, your competitors aren't doing well. It's going to bode badly for you. They're cutting back on expenses for their public relations, for their advertising, for their all these different, even on their orders at factories. And the company was like, la, 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 you're fired. And, you know, and that was in July. Do you remember that year that President Bush, if you lost your job and you had to pay for COBRA, the government was actually going to step in and cover 80%, I believe,
right.
of COBRA. We were 2 months before that. So I paid full COBRA for my family because I have a child with a disability. I have two young boys. I didn't really understand how all kids worked at the time. I wish I had known more, by the way. So anybody who's struggling, if you're still in that situation, find out about all kids and make sure that you and your kids are covered. I wish I'd known more. Because that sounded like a handout or, you know, whatever. But I spent, it was $1,600 a month.
It's crushing.
For 18
just
months.
Crushing.
Yeah, for 18, that was 18 months.
For a family to be able to manage, it's crushing it. And this was so significant. It was a component about that, about the Affordable Care Act, to be able to take your insurance mm-hmm. from one job to the next.
Right.
And whereas, and also to be required to be able to make that insurance available. I mean, it is crushing, and it crushed people to not be able to have those funds or to take those funds away from their, you know, you had families working right. two different jobs. And that's the thing. And I think that's the element that I hope more of a discussion is had about this. And throughout the course of the game, because people, they still don't feel like it's been recognized. They still have that feeling. And you know, I would do my best when I was as a senator, when I was running for re-election, to just make sure we got that out in front. Yeah, I know you feel like you've been screwed. I know you feel like you've been given a wrong deal. I know you feel like you haven't been able to get your share. We owe it to you to create opportunities for you. And that's, you know, part of that. That's, I think, what Scott was talking about. It's like, look, it's bad, but here's a chance. Here's how I'm going to get you out of it. Yeah, you know, here's the plan. I'm not going to say it's going to be an overnight, because here's the thing. I'm setting you up for an unbelievable disappointment when it doesn't change overnight.
Right.
On January 25th
yeah,
next year.
I just don't know how trade deals are the way to immediately have an effect on families who are struggling and trying to live month to month.
Well, and renegotiating NAFTA is not going to help you with the jobs that have gone to China. I mean, it is the caller was wrong about something. He said, well, we've always lived in a global economy. Well, no, we really haven't. The globalization has really accelerated. And part of that is trade deals. And part of that's just the world that we're living in.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is the point that you were making, Patty, which is, look, if you bring those jobs back and you actually expect to pay somebody a decent wage, then guess what? They're going to have competitive problems with the other companies. And by the way, the person who has made this point repeatedly is Donald J. Trump.
Right.
So, I mean, you can't just solve these problems. You can't just bring the jobs back any more than Donald Trump can bring back the production of the ties that Dan Katowski wore once.
Wow, that's a long callback.
Nice.
Wow. Scott, one more thing before my break. Did you want to say something?
You.
No, I'm just really impressed by that. Wow, that was, what tie are we talking about?
I was a tie.
We'll find a picture during the break. More after this on 720 WGN. Coming Coming up after the 12:30 news, we have What's That From? Created in part, actually co-created, I would say mostly created by Senator Dan Katowski.
I guess.
Where we read a movie scene for you and you guess what movie that is and you will win a pair of tickets of My Son, the Waiter. And that's going to be at the Performing Arts in Skokie, the North Shore Center for... Let me do that again. Can we take that out of the recording? Just edit that out for
Zap
me.
It.
Yeah, just go back. My Son, the Waiter is going. It's a Jewish tragedy playing at the North Shore Center for the Performing. Oh, I'm gonna turn your mic off. Are you turning it on? The North Shore.
You need the Jew to read this for you.
Yeah, could you please? I'm turning your mic off too. It's playing at the North Shore Center for Performing Arts in Skokie through August 7th. It's a one-man show starring comedian Brad Zimmerman. Go to mysonthewaiter.com, and we will have tickets to give away after the 12:30 news. Joe. Oh, hey, Joe. Of course I'm being flip. Hi, Joe. How you doing?
Right, excellent. Yourself, Kato?
I'm doing all right.
Good. A little history lesson. We were always globally trading, okay, until World War II began, if you will. During and after, we were basically the only world's, aside from Switzerland a little bit, Swiss steel, we were the only major producer of steel, okay? And this is a lesson in trade and good contracts for international trade. After the war, we gave the Japanese people the continuous casting technique, which made them pretty proficient in making good quality steel, okay? Now, get to the point of trade, if you will. Trump is saying, basically, he wants to renegotiate these trade deals because Japan is the world's leader. Check with any economist.
Did he mention Japan in that speech, Joe? Just out of curiosity, did he mention Japan in that speech? He did not. I was asking, you just said Japan.
China and Japan.
But you just said, I'm sorry, but he did not mention Japan, but continue.
Correct. But we're talking about Japan and China and South Korea. They're a good steel producer now, too. The basic deal is currency manipulation. That's where China is the pro. They're just doing that blatantly. So all Trump is asking is that we renegotiate these deals and adhere. Everybody adheres to the law, the basic principles. If you find a bad actor that's not going according to the rules, then you take the appropriate response. It's like basic ABC. And you know my definition of an expert? Who the person that came down on that one for saying we're never global? An X is an unknown quantity, and a spurt is a drip of water under pressure.
Wait, Dave, what do you want to say?
Well, I just the renegotiate the deals is another magic wand phrase. It's a notion that if you just did something different because the people who were doing it at the time were too stupid to know how to do this right, then it will all be fine. But renegotiating trade deals, unless you're talking about somehow imposing import tariffs on the steel that's made in South Korea and China and Japan, is not going to suddenly change the balance of how these things happen and what you have to pay in wages and so on. And in fact, interestingly, we actually have been successful in bringing some steel production back to this country, not because of labor changes and not because of different trade deals, but because we've used our intellectual capital to more efficiently produce energy in these plants. Like there's a great steel plant in ArcelorMittal steel plant in East Chicago, Indiana, where they recycle the wasted energy that they use so they save $100 million a year and can be competitive with overseas. But none of that has to do with renegotiating trade deals, and all of that has to do with how you run your business.
And jump on top of that, the idea that tariffs, some of which Trump has suggested in the past to be upwards of over 40%, bear in mind, this will have a direct impact on consumers in your day-to-day life. So you want inflation, you want an economy spiraling out of control, you want to pay $12 for a bucket, then okay, tariffs are great. Maybe it will be made here in America again, maybe it won't.
Well, and interestingly, the Trump is Mr. Build the Wall. Well, tariffs are just an economic wall. It's the same idea. He just wants to build different kinds of walls. But these problems, I mean, look, the economists that have looked at this on both sides of the aisle have concluded without question that Trump's economic proposals, to the extent they can be discerned from the very limited information out there, would cause a significant recession and cost millions and millions of jobs in this country.
All I know is I didn't understand guns and butter. More after this on 720 WGN. Hey, Craig, what was that text you got in regards to our guests on the show tonight?
from the 773. Hey, Patty, your guest is a moron, but they spelled it wrong.
They spelled moron wrong?
Yeah, they spelled moron wrong.
Okay. It sort of defeats your text.
Yeah, it kind of hurts.
Self-defeating text.
Sorry, 773.
Put him up. Put him up. Which one of you is first? I'll fight you both together if you want. I'll fight you with one paw tied behind my back. I'll fight you standing on one foot. I'll fight you with my eyes closed. I'll fight you with pulling an axe on me, eh? Sneaking up on me, eh?
Sorry, go ahead.
Wait. We're getting Dorothy.
Here, go away. And leave us alone.
Oh, scared, huh?
Dorothy looks out from a tree.
Oh,
afraid, huh? Lion, how long can you stay laughs. Fresh in that can? Come on, get up and fight, you shivering junkyard. Put your hands up, you lopsided bag of hay.
Scarecrow reacts.
Now that's getting personal, you- Lion. Yes, get up and teach him a lesson. Well, what's wrong with you teaching him? Well, I hardly know him.
Well, I'll get you anyway, Pee-wee.
Dorothy reacts.
Shame on you.
Camera shoots past Dorothy to the left, Lion crying, speaking.
What? What did you do that for? I didn't bite him.
No, but you tried to.
Dorothy and Lion, camera pulls back, Scarecrow and Tin Man enter at left.
It's bad enough picking on a straw man, but when you go around picking on poor little dogs.
Well, you didn't have to go and hit me, did you? Is my nose bleeding?
Well, of course not. My goodness, what a fuss you're making. Well, naturally, when you go around picking on things weaker than you are, why, you're nothing but a big coward.
You're right. I am a coward.
Camera shoots past Dorothy, Lion crying, speaking.
I haven't had any courage at all. I even scare myself. Look at the circles under my eyes.
Tin Man, Scarecrow, Dorothy, Lion, they speak, Lion cries.
I haven't slept in weeks.
Why don't you try counting sheep?
That doesn't do any good. I'm afraid of them.
Oh, that's too bad. Don't you think the wizard could help him too?
I don't see why not. Why don't you come along with us? We're on our way to see the wizard now to give him a heart.
And him a brain.
I'm sure he could give you some courage.
Camera shoots past Dorothy.
Well, wouldn't you feel degraded to be seen in the company of a cowardly lion? I would.
Dorothy, Tin Man, and Scarecrow, camera shoots past Lion at right.
No, of course not.
Tin Man, Dorothy, Lion, Scarecrow.
Gee, that's awfully nice of you. My life.
Oh, my God. And everyone's calling. Hold on. I got to answer.
Like, if you do not know the answer by now.
I love that he moved from being a Scottish lion.
He was a pirate for a little bit.
Scottish lion pirate. And then he nailed it. Like the last couple pages, he was locked in.
It's hard.
It took a little while to find my motivation, my character.
His inner lion.
His inner lion. Yeah. Again, 312-981.
Braveheart.
In case you didn't know.
Braveheart becomes
they'll
lion.
Never take our lion. Oh, this is for tickets to see My Son, the Waiter, a Jewish tragedy playing at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts in Skokie through August 7th, a one-man show starring comedian Brad Zimmerman. Go to mysonthewaiter.com. But Judy, I think you might have the answer. Judy, do you happen to know what we were reading a scene from?
I think I do.
What was it?
The Wizard of Oz.
Yay! Yay! What's her name, Judy?
Wow. Her name is Judy.
It's not Judy.
Judy. Wonder, are you named after Judy Garland?
I guess so.
Tonight she is.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up on.
Judy, you called for a serenade. You had no idea.
The rest of the words were.
Okay, stop. Please. Oh, God. Please stop. You know what, Judy? Just for that, I'm throwing in a pizza. I want you to go get a pizza on your way.
Pizza. And some earplugs.
Yeah, you're going to. Craig, please give her Lou Malnati's, a gift card to Lou Malnati's. Go to loumalnati.com for more information. But Judy's going to get a pizza on her way to see My Son, the Waiter. Judy.
Boy, the Jewish tragedy. It's going to be awesome.
Have a great night, Judy. That's the name of the play, My Son, the Waiter, a Jewish tragedy. It's starring Brad. He's got a question. A Jewish tragedy.
You did that very well. You're an honorary Jew for this moment.
Actually, genetically, my heritage is yes, it does go all the way. I know. She always said.
Wait, Jewish? She's everything.
My legal last name was used for Jewish families during the Spanish Inquisition. And then my family fled from Spain and went to different parts of the world.
Like Spinoza. You're like the Kaiser Sose.
Of stories.
Of talk show hosts.
I had a...
And just like that.
True story. Honest to God.
Honest to God. Not Vasquez, by the way. My father's name was created during the Spanish Inquisition.
The Inquisition.
And nobody expects it.
Nobody expects it.
Here come, did you? Yeah.
Do I do that too much? Maybe I do it.
No, you don't do it enough.
I went to the lunch with somebody one day, and he goes, you know, some people are story toppers, and he goes, you're not a story topper, you're a story stopper. Anybody who thinks they might have a story, they're like, no, Patty's got something. I can't possibly. I'm not even going to bother.
I wouldn't say you're a story stopper. No. Focuser. Sorry, targeter. Targeted.
I have my trench coat.
It's a story shifter.
You don't like a shifter. You don't like what I got on this side of my coat? Wait, hold on a second. I got more over here. Wait a minute. I'm wearing layers. I got another story over here. I don't know.
I think if we talked about any topic, you could figure out a way to be like, oh, no. I knew somebody was on the moon.
But don't you think Chicagoans? <Yeah. laughs> I've met. No, I'm just kidding.
I dated a guy, and he went to the moon. He wrote me a letter. Still hasn't come.
But don't you think Chicagoans, by our very nature, are like,
yes,
we all have a story.
No, you're very Chicago. That's yes.
We all got
everybody
a story.
Has a story that's either similar or is like, oh, you have no idea what happened to me.
Yes. Everybody's got a story. Just like everybody's got a guy, everybody's got a story.
Yeah. I got a guy with a story.
Exactly. Those are the best.
And I can't find the exit to stop with the story. I just keep in the story and it's stuck. It's like I'm circling O'Hare. I can't get
here
out of the
comes another one. Here comes another one.
Mixed metaphor word.
Yes, we need that. Story controllers. Story air
story
traffic.
Controllers.
Air story controller. I can't. I need something.
Story.
Land the story.
When someone starts a story, I do try very hard to go, uh-huh. And then I start tuning out. And if it's a very long-winded story, and then I try to find the right places to go, really? And hope that it's not in the wrong place. That's amazing.
Yes. My wife says I do this. Oh, wow. She's like, wow? I just told you I was going to the store.
Wow.
What a great country this is that you can go to that store.
Wow.
Wow.
Holy cow.
The store.
I was excited. The store was open. I was saying, wow, because it was open.
Mariano's.
Honey, it's noon. Why wouldn't it be open? Well, because it's a Saturday.
Do you tune out your spouses at some point when they're telling a story? Because I my poor husband, I just completely tune him out sometimes. I'm just like, I'm sorry. What did you say?
Do you have the face? Janine, my wife of almost 35 years now, has the face. And I think we all have it. But I'll be talking and even in my own head, it's getting long and boring. But I can look at her face and she has that look. Like, because I pause and like, this is when you inject your thoughts.
And then you're like terrified.
Just this non-smiling eye smile.
Yeah. And then there's
his body language, what the hell's he talking about?
Well, the face is kind of like when you got caught in class and you don't know what the professor was talking about and you're supposed to respond in some way. That's what the look is. Because the look is, oh, wait, you weren't paying any attention to me, were you, honey?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Ooh. Yes. Well, and so, but it's, I just love you can hear the synapses snapping away because of going, okay, his body language, is he smiling, is he sad, is he crying? He's not crying.
The trick is,
oh, thank God he's not crying. Okay, what's he, I don't know.
Well, as long as they're snapping and not kind of fizzling.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Yeah. And there's no smoke, you're probably
no,
in good
nothing,
shape.
Nothing.
The trick is always listen to the last few words so that if you get caught not listening, you just repeat those again.
No. It doesn't help. It doesn't. The last few words, she's like, then you're just repeating the last three words.
Oh. Well, totally.
that is the worst relationship advice you've ever given.
Don't do it all the time. I never told you to do it every time. You got to mix it up everywhere.
Maybe it works for your husband, but it's not going to work for the wife.
Well, for my son it works. But
for your son.
More after this on 720 WGN.
Where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops, that's where you
sing, Senator. Please don't sing. Just let Judy do the singing. Thank you. So you want to. I know you do.
This is Donald Trump's America, Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
You know the song was almost killed from the film? They almost didn't have it.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
Why, oh, why?
They thought it was it does stop the story. Yeah. I mean, it comes to a screeching halt, but who the hell cares? That's just a beautiful song.
That's
great. Just,
Yeah, but I mean, like, the thing is that that's a setup for she wants adventure and she wants to get away from the farm. And then the irony is that she does, and that she all she wants to do is get back home again.
Right. It's about longing.
So I don't understand.
Yes, no, I mean, it's a beautiful. I'm not. I'm glad they kept it in there, people.
What a stupid story you're telling. Yeah, what,
worst story ever.
Find the exit.
Worst story ever, Ward.
Oh, I love old movies. My father, my parents raised me on old movies. A lot of John Wayne movies, but a lot of, like, I know people now that don't watch a lot of black and white movies at all.
They don't. I talk to the, like, we have 20-somethings and millennials in the newsroom, and I mention things like His Girl Friday or The Front Page or one of the great journalism stories, and they've never seen them.
Philadelphia Story. Awesome.
And Casablanca is...
How, my how kid, did you not see Casablanca?
To my credit, my kids quote Casablanca to this day.
Really?
Yes,
well,
they
that,
do.
That means you're a good dad.
Yes, it is. Yes, it does.
We've watched Mr. Smith Goes to Washington with Griffin. He loves that movie, wants to watch it again. It's a great movie. But I think that, well, one, we don't sit down and watch movies with our families the way we used to. Remember there was Sunday on WGN-TV, you'd see the family, the classics.
The three, was it the 3 o'clock, movie? Or, was it Frasier Thomas?
Yes,
loved it.
Family classics.
Family classic was great. Boys Town, remember, I can't even tell you how many times I watched that movie.
Love that movie. Angels with Dirty Faces, I love that movie. Jimmy Cagney and Pat O'Brien. And the Dead End Kids. It's a good one.
And for Janine, it's anything with Gary Cooper. I mean, Cary Grant. My God. I mean, seriously.
Okay. So not until I got older did I realize how dark and twisted the movie Arsenic and Old Lace is.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Do you know Arsenic and Old Lace?
I actually never saw Arsenic and Old
Lace. I was in the play. I'll do it for you right now.
Okay.
Really? I was, yeah. Well, God,
did you play Arsenic or Old Lace?
No, I could not tell you how it starts. The storyline. Go ahead.
Yeah, the storyline is these women run a boarding house.
Very sweet, matronly women.
Yeah, and they, you know, they get lonely boarders. Generally, they get single men who, you know, stop and for some place to spend the night, and they tell their sad stories. So the women poison them and bury them in the basement.
Assuming that they're doing them a favor.
Yeah, because they're ending their sad, lonely lives.
Yeah.
Wow, and, that's dark.
And really so dark. Cary Grant is their nephew.
Mm-hmm. Cary Grant is their nephew, and they also have
I was watching Grown Ups too. I don't think I watched that.
That's the storyline of this movie. It's very dark.
And he's trying to hide it. He's trying to get them committed because he also has an uncle who's certifiably insane and thinks he's Teddy Roosevelt.
Yes, and he's in the base. He digs the holes because he thinks he's digging Panama.
Yeah, the Panama Canal.
The Panama Canal.
There's a lot of insanity in the old movies. I mean, Harvey.
A lot of insanity.
Harvey's a great
Harvey
movie.
Harvey is nuts.
Yeah.
Oh, and You Can't Take It With You, Phil, nobody can dislike that film.
Frank Capra, off the charts.
Meet John Doe, yes.
Yes.
It happened one night.
It happened one night. That's terrific.
Yes, Senator?
I was thinking, my wife gave a replica of what George Bailey has in his office.
George! For life.
And it's it says, all that you can take with you is that which you've given away.
Ooh.
And that's, we watched the movie and I'd say, stop! Because I'd want to see what was on his wall. It's at the time when, you know, right when Violet comes in to see him, right? And it's, you know, it's right, he got married and basically, the banking examiner comes in, it's a big deal, like, you can't find the money, but he looks up and he sees this, you know, it's on the wall. All you can take with you is that which you've given away. Love it. I have two different replicas that Anne
That's
made
cool.
for me.
Yeah.
So
That's
I have one in my office for child surf at home. I have one in my office at home.
You know what else is cool?
Hmm. What?
$8,000.
Yeah.
That is cool.
That George Bailey lost.
That's our outro.
You don't want to know, George. She's a librarian. I love that. That one thing, like the worst thing he could think that could happen to
my brother George, the richest man in town.
Oh,
now I'm going to get all weepy.
Well, go weep. More for this on 720 WGN. We have stumbled upon a controversial topic in the studio, Craig, and I think that it's going to need Esmeralda's expertise when we come back after the news. Esmeralda, I know we talked about this a little bit with Tim Slagle last night, and whether or not when you are in traffic and you are given the instructions by signage in some ways, that your lane is going to end or it's time to merge, or perhaps you are merging onto the highway, when is the appropriate time to get over? And is it rude and or helpful to just drive to the end of the
right?
So we're going to talk about that after.
It sounds like this is
like an opinion question, but it is not. There has been studies done. There is a correct answer.
There is a correct answer.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Slagle and I went back and forth a little bit. And he's like, well, you're sending me this thing. I'm like, I could send you 20 things, and they all say the same thing. And no, Senator, I'm not taking any questions right now.
Yeah, no, there are no microphones on at the moment.
No microphones. Very briefly, you have exactly...
we are going to debate the factual and incorrect answer.
I just want talk about how big the mug Esmeralda's drinking. People can't see it.
It's 10 pounds bigger on the camera.
If you go to WGNRadio.com, you can,
things
you
are
can
bigger.
Check out how big Esmeralda's mug is. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. A conversation began last night that I wanted to continue tonight because my friend Tim Slagle was on the show, and he was trying to compare what it's like to be on social media, that, you know, it's anonymous and you wouldn't behave that way in public. It's kind of like being in your car and you're the jerk that zips right by everybody everyone's already merged to the left. And he was trying to make a comparison. I had to stop him right there because I am one of the people that does not merge early. And I went on to tell him that there's been studies that if you merge early, you're actually doing it wrong and you're leaving a lot of real estate. You're slowing the flow of traffic. Now, it might be annoying to you watching people zip by, but everyone would just use up all the available real estate and then cooperate by zipper merging at the end, we would all be much happier. Senator Kutowski, you disagree that you should merge as soon as possible and come to a screeching halt?
I love when you use real estate and
actually what did it for me was real zipper.
Zipper. The zipper merge. It's a zipper merge.
You got the real estate out
one,
there.
It's a lot like a zipper. One car in, next car in. Yeah. Car.
So what do you do when you're out there? What's your
I go all the way into the lane. I use all the real estate available.
That's what you're supposed to
do. On the left-hand side? Or
whatever lane, because you could be in the middle of a highway that construction has now narrowed, is now eliminating one of the lanes. It could be anywhere, whether you're merging from an entrance ramp
or
construction,
okay.
Right? So it says this lane ends in 1,000 feet or 500 feet.
You go
feet.
All the way up to the 1,000 feet.
Yeah, use it
all. You're supposed to. That helps move traffic more.
It also depends, because if you're looking down the road, as you're supposed to, which most people don't, but if you're looking down the road and you see ahead of you that the traffic is so congested 1,000 feet up, then you try to merge 750 feet up.
Or you try to make a U-turn and get off that highway.
Or some people I know, I'm not saying it's me, they try and drive up because they don't want to wait in that long line. They get up all the way in the front, and then they try and merge in the cars in front.
But if all the, I mean, just saying, if more cars, and perhaps names. It wouldn't, and perhaps it is, yeah, you,
rhymes
the people,
with Kutowski.
Two-thirds.
It's a relative.
Two-thirds. Can you
Ricky Bobby Kutowski.
In a study, two-thirds of Americans merge early. A third of us are the ones that zip right by to the very
only
end.
Two-thirds. Only a third are zipper drivers?
A third of us. Well, that's why that lane is always empty.
Well, and two-thirds of the drivers are hovering in the left lane when you're not supposed to be hovering in the left lane on a two-lane highway.
Right.
Hovering. Left lane.
Hovering.
Yeah. I like that.
It is a driving pet peeve of mine and many hovering others.
In the left. Wait, tell me what that means, hovering in the left lane.
Well, when you sit in the left lane and you're saying, well, the speed limit's 55, I'm going 60, so, you know, I'll just sit here in the left lane. Well, no, the left lane is you keep right except to pass.
It's a passing.
Or in some states, it'll say slower traffic, keep right. And people say, well, I'm not slower traffic. I'm going the speed limit, so why should I?
Right.
Like, no. Yeah. No. You keep right except to pass. And that allows traffic to flow smoothly.
Excellent point. Yes. Excellent point.
Well played, sir.
Yeah. Thank you. That left lane is
finally common ground. Wow.
The only time you should hover, and Craig knows that I'm the kind of driver that likes to teach other drivers a lesson.
Oh, God.
And also pedestrians,
is if someone has been a jerk to you and you're able to get in front of them, and then there's a car next to you that's slow. Oh, look, you got to know where to go. Guess you're not going to go around us. You're going to, now we're all going to hover.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, if someone's tailgating, if someone's on me,
That's vindictive driving.
I'm going to slow down a little bit.
Yeah, you're supposed to.
That's actually what they tell you. Okay, well, slow down a little. Just take your foot off the gas a little bit.
Can we get into this? So just a little bit.
That's why we're doing this.
Were
we not talking?
Is Esmeralda and her big cup going to join us?
That's the biggest cup I've ever seen. That mug is a bottomless mug. It's like there's some kind of like Harry Potter potion that allows her to keep
drinking. Can you imagine how big that mug would look next to Donald Trump's baby hands?
It looks so tiny. My hands are enormous.
It's like a 28-ounce mug.
She's had her second cup of coffee. Back off, sir.
I'm going to start floating and I'll float down there.
Like if they have a lazy river that comes all the way down here.
Wouldn't that be great? The stairwell. Craig would definitely do the stairs with me if there was a lazy river.
So I don't understand how the police don't ever stop people on a motorcycle who are going like 95 miles an hour
in between
in and out of traffic. Are you not required to stay in a lane?
In California, motorcycles don't have to stay in the lane.
Hold on, let me get my driver's license.
They can drive between cars.
I think I'm in Illinois.
They
can drive between cars.
That's
in California.
I don't have anything against people riding a motorcycle. I think it's God bless them. But sometimes I'm like, why is this person going like 95 miles an hour going in and out or just in between the cars?
Truth time. When you see someone bring a jerk on a bike, whether it's a regular bike or a motorcycle, and you don't wish them any harm, but do you kind of want to open your door?
No.
Okay. That's a little terrible.
That's
awful.
No, that's
just evil. I believe that's about $1,000 fine
for opening your door on someone.
That's it. I'm out of here. You're nuts, lady.
Holy cow!
We were all fine with using the lane all the way to the end, but
I have a little bit of schizophrenia on this stuff because I am a driver. I'm an aggressive driver. I love driving in Italy because people all drive like I do. But I also am a very active cyclist.
Driving in Italy.
I do. It's fabulous. But I go on. It's like the lunch with Barbara Streisand thing you're talking about earlier. You get it? Right?
I took a flight just yesterday just to be driving in Italy for the day, and then I came back.
Nice.
But I'm also a very active cyclist, and so I empathize with both parties.
I'm saying if a cyclist is doing things like, let's say, riding on the sidewalk, and I have an opportunity to do, because they can just knock him over.
Oh yeah, no, that's just knock him over. That's different.
It's happened to me where someone's opened up a door.
No.
It was an unwitting.
Be aware. Anytime you're.
Yeah, it's awful.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm becoming full Chicago because I got a story.
Oh yeah!
Wait.
I was riding my bike. Tell me a story. And along these cars, and this guy pulls in front of me, and I literally hit his car, fly off the bike, roll across his hood, and fall onto the sidewalk on the pavement next to the sidewalk. He parks his car. And then he looks down and says, "You okay?" I go, "Oh, sure, yeah." He goes, "Okay." And he walked away.
After parking, he had to park his car first before.
Yeah, well, he was parking, to be fair.
Yeah. I thought he hit you and then parked the car.
No, not on top of me. That would have been a bad story.
But no. He wouldn't have.
He didn't get his license plate number?
Were you okay?
No, I was
stunned.
He was delirious. He had just got.
I got back on my bike and rode away.
Were you wearing your Latour outfit?
I was not wearing spandex. If that's what you're asking,
I wasn't asking that. I just saw a T-shirt that said Latour.
Yeah, just your cycling shirt. Yeah,
no, I don't have that.
Esmeralda, you're a cyclist. Do you have a lot of trouble people opening the door on you?
I've been doored. I've been doored by someone in a. I was going slowly because I was downtown, but I got doored by someone in a cab. So it wasn't the cabbie. He decided to just tell me that I should be careful and then walk right into a steakhouse.
Oh, dear.
Without, you know.
Oh, man.
So.
So you should be careful.
Yeah, well, you should find that guy and use your coffee mug against
him. Right.
Yeah, I would have if I had the chance.
Right. When you get doored, can't you sue? Isn't there a situation where you could actually sue the driver or the person who got out of the car? Is there some sort of legal?
Yeah, right. legally in the city of Chicago, and I'm sure this is everywhere, when passengers must exit the car out of a cab, out of an Uber, you have to get out of the car on the curbside. You do not open your door into traffic. When you're getting out of a car.
You said passengers, though, right?
Yeah, passengers.
Was it
at some point the driver has to. No, these are passengers.
Yeah, the cab was a passenger?
The cab was, yeah, it was the it wasn't the cabbie. The cabbie actually offered to take my bike to the police station to file a report. But I'm like, well, what am I going to do? I'm going to go into the steakhouse and just yell, like, hey, old man who hit me with the door.
Actually, the cab would probably be responsible. The cabbie would. So it's nice that he wanted to take.
Well, and I wouldn't even, because he had nothing to do with it. It was the mean old man in the it's in the passenger side.
It's still, I believe it's still the cab. The cab, right. The cab drivers are supposed to instruct their passengers to get out of the car on the curb.
Yeah, but you know what?
The fact that the man told me to be careful.
Yeah, that was, you want to go
careful,
after him.
He's
yeah.
not gonna.
Were you at? Were you like off your bike at the time? Were you on the ground?
No, I was going pretty slow, so I just slammed into the door, and then the bike hit me in the chest.
Oh,
the handlebars hit me in the chest. I had a pretty nasty bruise.
Mm. Ouch.
Yeah, so yeah,
that's not a good feeling.
But for that, other than that, I was fine.
But I've I'm in cabs constantly downtown.
Curbside.
My office is downtown, and usually I get off on the curbside unless there's some reason. There's occasionally some reason, but if I'm getting off on the other side, I'll look.
Yeah, you gotta
look. Right. It's
yeah.
all just about yeah. looking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just watch what you're doing, because you know what? It may not be a biker. There might be someone driving.
Right.
And just going to take that door off and yeah. maybe part
maybe
of
your
you
leg.
As well.
Yeah.
Just like out of a movie.
Yes. All of those things.
Yeah.
Dave Lundy, I want to make sure our listeners know, if you want to give us your thoughts on driving, in particular when it comes to merging. If you're merging early, we have a consensus in the studio, you're doing it wrong. And we don't mean to judge you. I think that
yes,
people
we
actually
do.
Being
That's exactly what we're doing.
They think they're being polite. I think a lot of people believe it is the polite and courteous thing to do to get over, and that we're all being rude by using up the lane all the way to the end. Honestly, they think we're being rude.
Hey, Patty, Chris has a bike story.
Oh, Chris has a bike story. Chris, before you tell me about your bike story, are you an early merger? Chris?
I'm a whenever I can get over merger.
See,
that's what I was saying.
That works as well. My husband said the same thing. He gets over whenever he can. Tell us your bike story, Chris.
I was a young kid, and I was riding my bike down the street, and a car was coming. It was nighttime. And as he approached me, he flashed his brights in my eyes.
Oh, so God.
I couldn't see where I was, and he drove past me, and I hit a parked car, and I flipped over, and yeah.
Oh, man.
Ouch.
Yeah.
That's awful. Were you able to get any insurance from him? Did you get any information, or was that it?
No, it was it. It was lights out. I woke up a couple minutes later. Somebody was waking me up.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so yeah. So nope. I'm always leery to drive, ride a bike now.
Yeah, I would be so afraid to get on a bike again. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Chris. Thank you for sharing your story.
Great show, Patty.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a cautionary tale, everybody. Be aware of the cyclists. I was kidding about opening a door on them.
Yeah.
Unless they're jerks.
Sure, in some way.
But they're not bicyclists on the freeway.
I said, have you ever felt like it? And then I was going to say, no, me neither. Although I have been in traffic and seen.
Dave and I are pretty scared.
Yeah. Scared. I have been in traffic.
No bikey with Patty in car.
No bike, no. I have seen motorcyclists in traffic just sitting there with no helmet, and I kind of want to just pat them on the back of the head and go, see, that hurts, doesn't it?
Right.
It would hurt more if you fell off your bike.
Well, you see the Darwinian moments.
I don't do that.
You see Darwinian moments. And I have to tell you, one of the things I noticed so much lately is bikers on the cell phone. But they're, for those who cycle, you should know, one of your hands holds the front brake. The other holds the rear brake. You do not want to take the cell phone off the brake. That is the rear brake, because then you jam on the front brake and you go flopping over the front. It's Darwinian moments, and I see it constantly.
Yes,
do you think when you commute with a bike all the time, you start to forget that it's not a car? Because my friend used to bike all the time, and then he picked up a pizza one day and tried to bike home with a pizza in his hand. And he did exactly what you just said. When a car cut him off, he pulled on his only brake that he could touch, flipped right over the bike, and then pizza everywhere.
Man.
See, this was not coordinated in advance.
It's
that
always
a
the pizza
spontaneous
that suffer.
Story.
Yeah. Always.
Oh, yeah. Dear. I saw a delivery guy for Potbellies yesterday, huge box, strapped to his back, riding a bike. I was like, that's do what you got to do. Get through traffic.
Yeah.
Get that stuff delivered.
As long as he's able to. Yeah,
it was like a backpack. It was strapped to his back. David Lundy, let us know how we can find it. Unless you want to stay till 1:30. I don't want to.
Well, it's almost 1:30 at this point. So.
More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by Senator Dan Katowski, media geek, is it not media geek? Do you prefer media guru? Media.
Sure, guru's fine. Okay, guru. Especially if my clients think of me that way. Yeah, as a media guru.
Svengali.
Maureen says that you are quite singular in thought. Dave Lundy, also the CEO. CEO, are you a CEO of your company?
No, I still have not been promoted yet. I'm just president of my own company.
President of your own company. Can you take care of that?
No, I keep having meetings with my staff, and they're like, no, you haven't earned it yet.
No, president of Alero is the name of your...
Aileron.
I've heard it both ways.
Yeah. I thought he was going to say, I'm keep having meetings with myself. we can't make up our mind.
Let's go.
Whether you deserve the promotion.
No, I actually have a firm. I have many people who work for me, but I can't get them to agree to let me be CEO.
I believe that you have many people work for you. Yeah, I believe that. I was never in question.
Well, okay. Paul Green doesn't. Dr. Paul Green.
I know he is, sure.
Paul, every time I'm at City Club and I put the firm name down, he's like, Dave, you have a firm? I'm like, yeah, Paul, for 15 years. Thanks, buddy.
Aileron. The company's called Aileron.
Aileron.
I've heard it both ways.
No, it's not.
Aileron.
Is it Aileron for people?
Aileron.
What is it?
What is the...
Aileron is the part on an airplane's wing that helps give a plane direction and lift. And as a strategic communications firm, we help give our clients message, direction, and their business lift.
I loved that book, Flowers for Algernon. It was a really good book.
Yes. Aileron.
That's an excellent name.
Thank you. I came up with
that. Aileron.
I would imagine you did. It wasn't Melania Trump. It was you, right?
No. Yeah. It was Michelle Obama's name.
It was Michelle.
Scott, I haven't had a chance to ask you about Melania's speech on Monday night, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
I know. What? Why are you shaking your head at me?
Nothing. Well, apparently they can't find the woman who's taking the blame for writing the speech.
I believe Snopes is saying they found her. Yeah,
they did.
They found the speechwriter, yes. Because for a while there was a rumor that they had also created her. They'd conjured her out of thin air, but no.
Okay.
No, in fact, not only did they find her, but they found out that in 2007, Donald Trump scapegoated her for something else.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing.
Maybe that's your job description.
So the way the story goes down now is the letter that was written by the speechwriter is that she was on the phone with Melania, who read portions of Michelle Obama's speech for inspiration. These
things just that she had received the first draft of the speech. And so she said, I want more Michelle Obama.
I want this, right? She read exactly the words that ended up being in the speech. At what point does your brain, is she that tired or she just figures, oh, well, they put it in there. But it was the words that she had read saying they were from Michelle Obama's speech. Melania did. Melania.
Yes.
Melania. Yes. I've heard it both ways.
Where?
I got to tell you.
Right here.
This moment.
You heard it in your head. You heard it in your head and then it came out the mouth.
Melania.
So what happened?
No, I'm saying, how is that? Everyone's like, at first, people were saying, oh, she deserved more. You can't blame her. She's nervous. You know, English is not her first language. There's a lot of pressure on her. But when the story is that she read these portions of the speech as something that she wanted to emulate and then actually said them as her speech, at some point, like, she gets to be an adult, right? Like,
but
she gets to be somebody who actually takes responsibility.
But it's worse than that. It's worse than that. Because, and this is the part that, frankly, of all the talk about the Melania speech, or Melania speech, whichever way you heard it in your head. But of all the talk about it, nobody focused on the fact that the stuff that she cribbed was a claimed personal experience that lessons that had been imparted by her parents. She took Michelle Obama's parents' lesson and claimed them as her own. And I'm sorry, I don't care who wrote the speech for you. I mean, no. Hang on a second. Let me think about that. Did that happen to me? No.
when you're having the conversation, whether it's on Facebook or right here on the show, you get people calling and texting and messaging. Well, if Obama did it in 2008, yes, he was actually supported by and defended by Governor Patrick, whose speech there were three or four lines, and it was a stump speech. The governor supported and defended President Obama.
Right, because they were close friends, and he was very happy that Barack had taken his words in those days.
But my favorite part about that, and then people were throwing other things out there, and I said, well, then what you're saying is, if that's okay, then this is okay. So you are agreeing that this is plagiarism, if you are purporting that that is. I'm just saying.
Well, it was plagiarism. There's no question about that.
Well, the other component, too, is that Obama supported Deval Patrick. you know, and, yeah. and Deval Patrick yeah. believed in him. And the Trumps aren't necessarily supposedly big fans of the Obamas.
Or friends with
right.
them. Right. So you would think they wouldn't be emulating
that kind
the
of dialogue. And that and the thing that came out of this was apparently Melania is a
big fan of Michelle's.
Big fan of Michelle's.
Which is right. nice.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yes. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, to be honest, I'm not familiar with the President
Governor
Obama.
Patrick's, yeah.
He lifted, I did not know this.
He did not lift. They had talked about him using portions of the speech that Governor Patrick had been giving in 2006.
Oh, and he had already agreed to, beforehand.
But without saying, my friend Governor Patrick's speech, or has...
And he usually attributed it. He had done it a number of times. He had attributed it previously,
well, no, that's not,
and then one time he forgot. By the way, that also happened to Joe Biden in 1987. I know this for a fact because the guy who was the one who suggested he use the Neil Kinnock lines was my buddy David Wilhelm. And David told me the story about how he had been going around the state with Joe Biden, and Joe Biden had been using this Neil Kinnock line, but he always attributed it to Neil Kinnock. And then this one time he was about to go to some big public forum and he wasn't sure what to do, and he tried his speech and the speech wasn't working for him. And David said, well, why don't you try using the Neil Kinnock line? That always worked really well. And so he goes and he does it, but he forgets to attribute it to Neil Kinnock. And then a young journalist for the New York Times, who had not heard him say the same thing 50 times around the state because she had just joined the campaign trail, heard it and was like, wait a minute, that was plagiarism, and I'm going to write about this and I'm going to expose you. That young New York Times reporter was Maureen Dowd.
Ooh. Wow. Yeah. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We've got to get mics in here. But then do you think that people would be as honest and off the cuff if they knew they were also being audio taped?
Secret mics.
I know, but then what's the point of a secret mic if we never air it? And if we air it, then they know we're secretly recording them.
Oh.
I know. It's a conundrum.
I don't like the insidious
nature
twist yeah. of the show that it's taking.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do dark. It taxi cab confession style.
We come here
where we record beforehand and then say it.
Are you going to hold hands?
What are we doing?
Why don't I have my
camera?
We come
here because of the. This is the zone of the safe zone.
The brotherhood.
Yes.
Is this the brotherhood of man?
This is safe.
This is safe.
This is a safe place.
Place.
We're so in the brotherhood.
It's like this, your life. This
of
like,
man.
Right. It's like, to life, l'chaim.
Wow.
This is our safe
so
place.
Much.
A similar era, by the way, Fiddler on the Roof and How to Succeed
yes.
in Business.
Yes. By the way,
how to.
Wait,
one of my favorite
job.
Movies of all time, Fiddler on the Roof.
Really?
I love that
the
movie.
Film.
Oh. I love it.
I give
just
you honorary Jew status.
Listen, Baruch HaTayyad yeah. Anayel Lehillim Yes.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't even know it? Did you even make your bar mitzvah or your bar mitzvah?
Yes, and I know which one is which, too.
Which one did you make?
He's saying,
as a male, it was to be a bar mitzvah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you for playing.
He was actually criticizing your
Yes, I know he was. I just, I didn't want to go too into it. Because
well,
I didn't
it's kind of like aileron.
It's a, yeah. hey, Yashikoh.
And that's
A-I-L-E-R-O-N.
Yasher.
INC.com.
Yasher. Hey, he's the head of Al-Anon. I didn't know he was the head of Al-Anon.
Yeah, wow.
I've known Dave for a long time.
I love those people.
I knew he was a media guru, but not the head of Al-Anon.
Yeah.
So much for anonymity.
You helped so many people.
Yeah.
Did you?
It's no longer called Al-Anon. It's now just called Al.
Say anything.
You can call me Al.
No.
Al.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, don't make me turn your mics
sorry.
Off.
Sorry, yeah. sorry.
Sorry.
Just having so much
sorry,
fun.
Sorry, Miss Patty.
Sorry.
Craig, you were going to say something earlier, but
I was just going to comment on how much music we've talked about tonight and how many times they broke into song. There has been a lot of. It's a very musical evening.
It is a very musical evening.
I do that a lot.
We're
actually.
Hopeful.
We're musical people.
We are musical.
Yeah, people. I am.
It's in your blood.
The Lithuanian, French,
yes,
Polish, Irish,
Jewish. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. But what good is you? Are you? Are know. You? What's your ethnicity?
I'm Jewish.
No, that's your religion. What's your ethnicity?
Yeah, but I'm Eastern European mutt.
Well, okay.
So some Polish. There's
good.
Some Romanian.
So what? Why were you so reluctant to share with the public that you're Polish? Come on, Dave. He's one of us. The 2 million people are listening out there.
Us.
He's
one of us.
Yeah, you know, your great grandparents, you know, tortured my great grandparents.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
No, they did not.
Yes, they did. They had the pogrom.
No, they were. Oh, my great grandparents were living here. In the U.S.
Craig, it's turned into a racial war.
I can't believe Lundy would do it.
Honestly, jeez, man, you walked right into it.
My great Irish grandparents.
Is he talking about the Polish ones?
Yeah. No. Yeah. No, yes. my dad was a Jesuit, and then his father came from.
Yeah, because the Catholics in Poland didn't do anything bad to Jews at
all. They did not.
How's that coffee, Esmeralda? Are you drinking coffee?
Yeah, how is the coffee?
That's my third coffee.
Not my family.
Lots of creamer.
Lots of creamer.
I'm having a cookie.
I'm looking all over the rundown, and I don't see anything about talking about people's ethnicities tonight. There's a lot of none of this is on here.
I like how Craig said ethnicities. He took off the H.
Craig and I, ethnicities. We have a plan to challenge the other shows.
Correct.
To various fitness adventures. Let's put it that way.
Ooh.
That sounds like fun.
I'm gonna invite Steve Cochran to do a little CrossFit. That's an adventure. That's something.
That would be an adventure.
Do you want to come do some CrossFit with me?
I would, but
what do they call that Steve device that you have?
That would surprise me.
The trainers have a yes.
What do they call
what? The dumbbell, the barbells? What?
No.
The kettlebells?
Make sure you're prepared just in case something bad happens.
Defibrillator?
Yes.
Cochran, you're doing great. Claire.
They can adjust their training program for any health and fitness level.
I would hope so.
Yes. And then I was thinking there's something I do called Angry Ballet. It's not called Angry Ballet. It's what I call it. I've heard it both ways.
Can't imagine.
Is that like Angry Birds, but
ballet?
Tutu?
Yeah.
Plie, yes. That's the second time you've renamed something tonight. There's a lot of power. There's like a George Bush type of power in that. Melania.
Angry Ballet. It's a pure bar. It's actually this kind of, it's like studio bar. It's aerobic ballet, but I call it Angry Ballet because it just feels so mean and personal.
Do you get to wear those shoes?
No, you do barefoot. Or you wear socks. Depends on the studio. Some places prefer bare feet, and some places prefer socks with like little rubber, like, you know, like grippy.
I got a story. Okay.
Yes. Can I ask real quick?
He's got a story about grippy socks.
Yes, that's
Ken. I actually want to hear that. I want to see how. Can I wear a tutu?
You can wear a tutu, absolutely.
And the bun and everything?
Yeah, if you want to wear all that, yeah.
I want to go to Angry Ballet.
I am a direct descendant of the inventor of the leotard. I'm not kidding.
Why do they call it a leotard?
Because that was the family name.
One
of my
Leo.
Family names is leotard.
Leo?
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Not leotard.
That's what it was.
Leotard.
I thought it was.
Scott, I thought I knew you.
No, it's that. I'm not kidding.
So your family will be very well represented at the summer's Olympics for the gymnastics.
Yes, and your angry ballet.
There aren't many leotards. There's mostly compression pants and jogging bras. Yeah. I wear compression pants.
That's not true.
I do.
I can't hear that.
Uncomfortable for you.
It's totally uncomfortable.
So uncomfortable.
What happened?
The kind with
like
the copper?
You share like.
Wait, hold on a second, Esmeralda.
Is it the kind with the copper?
No, I don't. I wear this for my ankles though. Oh. I do wear the compression socks with the copper for my ankles.
What does the copper do?
I don't know. I saw it in an infomercial.
It helps arthritis, right?
I mean, does it have a healing property? Because you know, I broke my growth plate, and I can tell when it's going to rain. It did not see it rain today. I was a day off by the rain, by the way. I didn't know it was going to rain from the forecast, but I thought that it was supposed to rain yesterday.
Were you in pain the whole time until it rained?
My hip hurt a little bit, but it was mostly, yeah.
Is there like a popping noise when it does, when the relief comes?
No, it is a pretty immediate easing of the pain. For my knee, it feels like it's swollen, even though you can't tell it. It's when it just feels like puffy. It feels very stiff and hard to move.
I got the same thing.
Yeah. Did you know it was going to rain today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I knew something angry was happening.
I just have a weather app.
You didn't know it was ballet.
Yeah, I have a window.
Did you know it was going to rain tonight?
No.
I actually had no idea.
And it got dark and it started raining. He knew for sure.
I was only thinking about the dark clouds and the lightning and thunder coming out of the Republican National Convention. I wasn't really thinking about the actual weather.
Oh,
so I did not bring an umbrella to our little shindig before I came over here.
What,
I got very wet.
Did you have did you walk back to the station or did you take a cab?
Well, no, I had my car parked over there. But I had to walk a couple blocks to the car. I was quite wet and got in the car and came
over. What kind of fitness adventure would you want to do? Because I'm going to do Angry Ballet with Esmeralda, apparently. maybe CrossFit with Steve Cochran. I think I want to have Mark Carman teach me how to play tennis. I don't know how to play tennis. I'm going to do that. We did rock climbing last year at Millennium Park. Maybe we'll go do some of that.
That'd be fun.
That's nice. Great. Yeah. We have a great climbing wall over here in Millennium Park.
Oh, it's fabulous.
Oh, it's one of the best in the
country. You mean in the Maggie Daly section?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Really beautiful. It's cool. What would you do? I want to try that. What's that skydiving thing? Is that aerobic? Is that
skydiving?
It's hard. I tried that. It's you're inside.
Oh, you're inside.
The tube. It's in.
It's expensive.
It's not fitness per se.
No.
It's a workout if you did it for a long time, but you're not in the tube for very long.
Yes. If you were in there for 4.5 hours, it would be a workout.
If you liked it, your show in the tube.
Ooh.
So people tune in and all of a sudden they are whoosh. You'll know.
This is Patty Vasquez.
Yeah. How do I sound?
Bend your back.
they say
that's what they say. Bend your back.
Bend your back.
Yes. It's when you're arch in the tube, back. You got to bend your back. Yes.
I meant to separate you two.
Scott and I have actually built up this rapport.
I know.
Yes.
Maybe too really much of a rapport. I liked it better when you didn't like each other. I'm just kidding.
We've always didn't like each other.
And. It's kind of that's part of the dynamic.
What else were we supposed to talk about? Okay, so I got the fitness challenge.
There is something called silent parties, which I think this group of people would benefit from going to a silent party.
I'm not going to a key party with.
Yeah.
No, it's did he different. Say key parties? What
no,
did he
silent.
Say?
Oh. Are there masks involved in the silent?
No, it actually looks. Have you seen the video of this?
Yeah, they all they're given headphones when they get to this party.
Yeah,
and
they have a DJ who you know.
So there isn't a lot of music. I mean, you can't. There's not a lot of noise there. It's a silent party, but everyone has their headphones so they can dance. But if you're just watching them, you can't.
It's it's very strange. It that actually looks bizarre. Like it could
I
be
want
a blast.
To do Orange Theory with you. Orange Theory.
What's that? There's one in Lincoln Square. I've heard about that.
What is that?
Orange Theory.
It's a new type of cardio workout. They work on cardio and strength.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what they do? I mean, I'm curious.
Well, there's oranges.
So people thinking about the concept of working out. That's the theory part of it.
Ooh, you know what else is? Would you consider ping pong to be athletic?
It can be. Yeah.
There's a new nightclub called Spin that has ping pong tables.
Are you going to challenge Bill Leff?
I'm going to challenge. Well, no.
You should not.
I'm not going to challenge him. I'm going to ask for ping pong
lesson.
Tutelage.
There's actually a couple. There's a new one just down the street called Ace Bounce.
Ace Bounce. To do that.
We play a game up in Wisconsin called Round Robin, and literally it's 150 people play, and you go around the
drinking games don't count.
It's not drinking. Well, there's drinking, but it's water. It's a lot of water.
But it's Wisconsin. There's
it's
cheese.
Wisconsin water.
150 people.
You go to it's. I can't even explain it on the radio, but it is an unbelievable workout if you get to the finals. I got to the finals this year.
You're not describing anything except for 150 people.
150 people going around. We go around the table, right? And it's about you get what you hit it.
How big
about,
is this table? Because that's a lot of people.
It's the size of a football field. It's a regular,
a really big table.
What you do is you bounce it, right? You hit over the one person serves, and then the next person hits back, and then you leave the paddle down, and then the next person comes and gets the paddle and hits it over, and the other person's coming around the other side of the table, and they hit it back over, and you have enough people, right? And you're just moving around. And there is at times it's like 50 minutes of a volley. It just doesn't stop. And you're going, and you get three times that you get three chances, right, where you can get out. If you hit it over the table, it's out. If you you hit it against the net, it's an out.
Craig is not impressed.
I'm trying to diagram this. I have no idea. Yeah.
It's an outstanding game. It's called Round Robin. My brother-in-law Phil won it this year. And we got in the finals together.
Did you get the plaque in time?
Literally so dizzy at the end because you're two people running around the table at the very end.
But here's the key question. Do you have to be drunk to play the game? Or is this
drunk.
A different kind of game?
No,
can you imagine?
I don't imagine running around in circles like that. It's just anybody can play. There are people who are drunk who play. I will say that.
I'm sure. It's Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Craig, have I now officially...
they're Illinois people in Wisconsin.
Have I now officially hit everything on the rundown?
Yeah, I think we got everything.
We did never call Representative Cabello either.
No.
It's actually Cabello, and that bothers me a little bit. I don't know why. Because he introduced himself as the only Hispanic representative on that side of the aisle, which isn't really a great thing to call attention to. I'm the only one. I'm the only Hispanic. The state of Illinois would bother electing to the House of Representatives on the Republican side. Anyway, that's how he introduced
himself. I was the only Polish one for a while.
Did you get up and say that all the time? I'm the only Polish here.
Anybody? I didn't because I knew it would upset Dave Lundy. I didn't want to upset him.
Let's
see. Those are my people.
Should we call Cabello or should we call Connolly? Senator Connolly or Representative Cabello? That's kind of
Connolly. Go for It's my mother's.
No, why don't you call the speaker?
It's mother. My mother's maiden name.
Speaker of the House.
Yeah.
Okay. Wake me up before you go. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It is time for the end of our show, and we are calling Illinois State Senator Michael Connolly per the request of Senator Dan Katowski. I can say that on the air, right? I think it's fine. I think it's fair. Do you
sure
not want me to say anything?
Do you want to say what?
Nothing. I didn't say anything.
I want to talk to him.
All right.
I want to see what he's doing.
Man, we called John Cassa. Last night was a mess. Is it on the air?
On the air?
Oh, here we go. I just heard an echo.
Wow, I could feel the tension.
I know. It's all very tension. Is he in Cleveland or is he? I don't think he's. Is he a delegate? I know that Cabello is.
He is delegate.
Oh, is he? So he's in Cleveland? He is delegate. Well, delegate.
So it's 3 in the morning.
Is he a delegate?
Oh, right.
Yes. It would be if he's at the convention. He'll be. We're going to his voicemail in just a moment.
Yeah.
Let's see.
He didn't pick up?
No, he did not. No,
jerk.
Please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
I think so, too. Hello, Senator Connolly. It's Patty Vasquez.
And Craig Collins.
Esmeralda Leon.
Dan Katowski.
Scott Stannis.
Dave Lundy.
Yes. We wonder how you're doing tonight, what you thought of the speech given by your nominee. I guess, do we know if Senator Connolly put his support behind the nominee?
I don't know. I think
Donald
he's
Trump?
I don't know.
He was. I think he's a Rubio guy.
I think he didn't work out.
But it's his nominee now.
Well, but I mean, there are people who seem to be distancing themselves.
Yes.
People who are saying things like, you know, vote with your heart, with your conscience, look up and down the ticket.
That was a special moment.
That was.
I'd love the booze. I thought that was awesome, actually. I thought that
it was orchestrated. It was brilliant.
What do you mean?
It was turning Trump into a sympathetic figure.
Does it make him look sympathetic? It makes the party look divided.
Either Donald Trump is the world's worst negotiator because he gave Trump the prime time speaking slot right before the VP candidate comes out.
Gives
him 20 minutes. Yeah, gave Cruz 20 minutes and knew he wasn't going to endorse him and knew there had been a lot of really hard feelings during the campaign. And he apparently was okay with all of that. So and he knew they had read the speech. Trump said, yeah, I read it. It was fine. I had no problem with it.
So you think he did it for the drama?
I think he did for the drama. Yeah.
Wow. Well,
we know
smarter than we thought he was.
We know that his people were on the floor whipping the floor up, whipping the booze up. Now, maybe they just went spontaneously down, and maybe it's a coincidence that right when he was hitting that crescendo moment, Donald Trump walked in from up above. I'm just
like
saying
a vengeful
that,
god.
Like a vengeful god. I think it was not an accident.
That's
fascinating.
Smoke
was like a Van Halen show.
Yeah, it was kind of. What were your thoughts, Senator Katowski?
I was thinking of Mike Conley at that time.
What were you thinking about Mike Conley?
I was thinking of what kind of presence he has. What's Mike thinking about right now?
He's thinking, wow, this is a really long message.
We go all the way to the end.
Is Mike still at Pilates class?
We fill it up.
Does he do Pilates?
He's a big Pilates. He's very, like, sinewy. He's very into Pilates.
Sinewy. That's a word that's never been used to describe me.
Yeah. You should try angry ballet. It lengthens and tones the muscles.
I like happy ballet.
Happy, no. You're not going to get any tone or sinewy. Muscles.
Are you doing? Are you saying things that like express your anger during angry ballet? Or are you
thinking? I'm thinking a lot of angry things.
Are you whooping? What's going on?
It's so painful. It makes me angry.
Does it?
It makes me very angry. That's why I call it angry ballet. It's actually called pure bar. And the bar
angry
method.
Ballet is a way better name.
I don't know why they don't always call it angry ballet. I think more people would show up and be like, ah.
And how long is the workout for?
It's an hour sustained.
It's an hour sustained workout.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Are you doing like a ballet workout?
I'm going to take you to this class. Yeah. There's a lot of pliés and on your toes and
okay.
Yeah.
I'd go. That'd be fun. What the hell?
To watch or to do?
No, I do.
To do.
No, I mean, it's more fun to do.
There's one in Wicker Park. There's actually one down here in the Gold Coast too. I think there's one.
Really? Well, I could walk to it.
Maybe on Wabash. We'll go together. Let's go do a class together.
Okay.
Maybe Senator Connolly.
There.
No leotard for you. You can just wear shorts and a t-shirt. That's
okay.
All I mean. All
right. Well, that's right.
Here's two stories I didn't get a chance to talk about before the show. I wanted to first of all, thank you so much, Dave Lundy, for inviting me to the party you guys threw at the
thanks for coming.
At Hubbard Inn. On my way out of the building, I stopped here to drop off some things, and I was going out the revolving door, and the security guy goes, ah, whoa, whoa! And he goes, come back. And he started going like this. My dress was not covering the parts that I would like to have covered in the back.
Whoa.
And we missed this?
It was tucked in?
It was tucked in.
My Aunt Jill did that at a wedding. She's a lot older than you are. I just want you to know.
You say I'm slipping? Am I slipping?
I
say I'm slipping.
Hey, is my slip showing?
I just say, and the security guard, one, was very kind to make sure that I did not leave the building with my dress askew. Or tucked, as it were.
Well, that was very nice of him.
It was very nice of him. And then
I would have just giggled.
So that's when they cover your.
I don't even know how that happened. I really don't understand. Uh-huh. But when
it was a wild party.
It reached the maximum.
Oh, I had another story.
Right, it was like reaching a crescendo.
And he was getting really excited.
Yeah, my dress. What's the other dress story?
No, there's no other dress story. No, this is really sweet. You know, we talk about Chicago being the greatest small, like biggest small town in the world. We really are very friendly. This is the friendliest thing I've ever had happen to me. I was running from the Hubbard Inn here. It was pouring rain. And if you know me and you see my pictures on Facebook, I really am very particular about my bangs. When we were taking a selfie, I was like trying to do this. So the only thing I was covering, I had was a notebook. So I was just running with a notebook covering my bangs because I didn't care about the rest of my hair. And this girl stopped me at one of the restaurants and she grabbed me. She goes, "Can I give you an umbrella?" And I was like, "No, I'm fine. I'm just going to run." She goes, "No, please. I have an extra one." And she gave me her umbrella. Oh, she wouldn't take no for an answer. So that's next time it rains, I'll be carrying that with me in my purse. And I
so you got a security guard covering your,
Yes.
And a free umbrella.
Covering up tops and bottoms.